about an item that the world never understand, the peace that Jesus can give. Thank you very much. I'd like to introduce Betty Newman right now. Because we do have new members. Perhaps you don't know that she's the lady right there with Pastor Newman. And we had missionaries here this week, and my wife got to explain to one of the missionaries that he made a big mistake not letting his wife, the missionary's wife, talk. Because she got to talk at the ladies' tea, and what a blessing it is to have a good Christian wife that'll back you up. And she explained to this missionary, "Buddy, you'll get your deputation a lot quicker if you let your wife speak also. And speak to the ladies that hold the purse strings, and nudge the husband. Go ahead, yeah, let's take that missionary, let's get that one." And it's great to have good Christian wives, and I know Pastor Newman appreciates that too. But let's open our Bibles and hear from Pastor Newman now tonight as he shares with us the message God's giving for us.
Well, let me express once again how good it has been to be here today and to see folk continuing on in their service for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is one exciting church, and I agree with the dear lady that gave the testimony back there that this is the most friendly church. Amen? And let's all be determined to keep it that way. I certainly appreciate your pastor. We, of course, love the McPhillips. And there are about a dozen preachers that I pray for every Saturday night. And your preacher is one of them. Because I know what you're up against. No. No, we love Pastor Gerald, and we're just so glad for the McPhillips being here and carrying this ministry on in such a wonderful way. And I trust you're praying for your pastor every day, and especially on this mission trip. And that's exciting for Pastor McPhillips and John and Jenna to be on this mission trip, of course, with others. So that's wonderful. And God will bless their hearts as a result. Well, let's turn in our Bibles tonight to the book of Judges, back in the Old Testament. The book of Judges. Judges chapter 3. Judges chapter 3. If you didn't bring a Bible with you tonight, there's one right there in the hymn book rack. You can use that to follow along with. Judges chapter 3 and the last verse of that chapter. And some of you, after I read this verse, are going to be wondering, well, what is he going to say about this? Judges chapter 3 and verse 31. It says, "And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel." Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're glad for all of your word. And here's probably a verse that we read rather quickly and don't give any thought to it and just move on. But Lord, every verse in your Bible is important, and you have something to say to us in each one. And I pray that as we look at this verse, that your Holy Spirit will highlight some truths for us that can be an encouragement to each of our hearts. And Lord, we have to admit that sometimes as Christians, we need to be encouraged. And that's what I want to do tonight, Lord. I want you to use me to encourage all of these dear folk. Encourage them in their walk with you. Encourage them to be faithful. Faithful in their service to you. So I pray, Lord, that you meet with us tonight and instill your word upon our hearts. We ask in Christ's name, amen. You know, as you read your Bible, you come across names of people that you know very little about. And sometimes we come across people whose names aren't even given. And we wonder, well, just who was that person? What did they do for God that was significant? You know, that's even true concerning the church, the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is made up of all different kinds of people. As we talked about this morning concerning the love of Christ, it's wide. And it includes a lot of different kinds of people. And not all of those people have identical talents. Some of those people have more talents than what other people do. But yet, we need to understand that everyone within the body of Christ is important to God. And everyone is significant to him. And so I just want to talk with you tonight about Shamgar's significance. That's the name of the person that we have here listed for us in Judges chapter 3 and verse 31. Shamgar's significance. Sometimes in the church, in the body of Christ, individuals can come to the conclusion that they aren't significant, that the church could go on well without them, and that they wouldn't be missed. But I hope to show you tonight from God's word and from the life of this man named Shamgar that perhaps some of you have never heard of before, that you are important to God, and you are significant to him. God wants you to know that. And even though what you do within the framework of the local church may be invisible to everyone else, my friend, listen, it's not invisible to God. God is watching. God knows who the shirkers are and who the workers are. And I hope you're a worker. And God takes notice of everything that you do for the cause of Jesus Christ. You know, I think about people like Jabez. You know, here a couple years ago, Jabez's prayer became popular. Jabez is mentioned to us in 1 Chronicles. And there's just a couple verses about him. But yet God used Jabez to pray a significant prayer that we're still talking about yet today. And I think about that little maid talked about in 2 Kings. She was Naaman's maid. Listen, we don't even have her name. But think of what, of the way that God used her to have an impact upon Naaman so that he was able to be healed of his leprosy. I think about those four men that are talked about in Mark chapter 2. We don't have their names either. They're nameless individuals. But yet they had a burden for their friend, and they picked up the stretcher that he was laying upon and took him to see Jesus. That's when they had to cut a hole through the roof of the house that Jesus was in and teaching the people, and let him down through that hole in the roof so that he could be healed by Jesus. Nameless men. But yet they did something significant, didn't they? Well, these and many others, not only here in the Bible, but throughout the history of the church, were used by God to do things that perhaps other people didn't take notice of, but God took notice of, because what they did was significant. Now, here in Judges chapter 3, verse 31, we have this man named Shamgar. Boy, I don't know about you, but I like that name, Shamgar. I mean, that just kind of sounds tough, doesn't it? You know, wouldn't it be neat to hear the announcer say, and now coming in for to be a running back is Shamgar. That would put fear in the other team, wouldn't it? Shamgar. Well, he was a neat guy that was willing to surrender himself to the Lord and do something great for God. He's not well known in the book of Judges. Probably if I were to ask you, list some of the judges that God used in the book of Judges, I imagine we'd hear about Samson. Don't you think that would be a name that would be given? Samson. And God did use him in a great way, didn't he? He certainly had a lot of failures, but God still used Samson. We all know about Samson. And how about Gideon? You remember Gideon? Gideon and his army of 300. And they were able to be victorious over the Midianites with their thousands. God, of course, gave them that ability and that power. So we all know about Gideon. Maybe you ladies would mention Deborah. She was a lady judge, you know. God couldn't find any brave men at that time. So God used Deborah, a lady prophet, in order to bring deliverance to Israel. But here in verse 31 of chapter 3, I doubt whether anyone here tonight would have mentioned Shamgar. Shamgar. We don't hear much about him. Shamgar lived in difficult days. You know, four times in the book of Judges, it mentions that there was no king in Israel. And therefore, every man was doing right in his own eyes. That's why in the book of Judges you have anarchy, don't you? Because they didn't have King Jesus ruling in their lives. And very few people were interested in God being their authority. So they had no king in Israel. And every man was doing what was right in his own eyes. You know, we are living in similar days today, are we not? Similar days today. People are casting off the Word of God. They don't want God telling them what to do. They want to do what they want to do. And we're living in a day when every man is seeking to do right in his own eyes. Well, just as Shamgar was able to do something great for God, in his day, my friend, listen, I believe we're still able to do something great for God even in this day in which we live. Amen? Do you believe that? Do something great for God. Well, let me point out three things with you concerning Shamgar. First of all, notice Shamgar's successes. Shamgar's success. There in verse 31, the verse ends with, "And he also delivered Israel." Well, as I mentioned, he's not a well-known person. And there were more well-known people that were able to deliver Israel also when they came on the scene. But this Shamgar, he was also, and I emphasize that word also, he was also able to do great things for God. Listen, every pastor and quite a few lay people know who Charles Haddon Spurgeon is. If you've heard that name, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, raise your hand. All right, see, so many did. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was a great preacher in London, England, in days gone by at the Metropolitan Tabernacle. They had an auditorium that would seat 6,000 people. We think mega churches are something new. He had a mega church way back then. Listen, Charles Haddon Spurgeon came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior one winter Sunday evening. And as a young man, as a teenager, he decided to go to church that night on such a terrible night over there in England. And he went to a service, walked through the doors of that church, and sat down in the auditorium. And listen, the weather was so bad that there was just a handful of people there, and the preacher couldn't even make it. He wasn't even there. And so a layman got up, and the best that he knew how, he turned, had the people turn to Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22, a great verse. Here's what it says. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." And in his feeble attempt, he just sought to explain that verse that night to that handful of people. And that's the night that Charles Haddon Spurgeon got saved. Now listen, we don't even know what that guy's name was. But he also, just like Shamgar, he also delivered by letting God use him that night. He delivered a teenager from the jaws of sinfulness and death. And he came to know Jesus Christ as Savior, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and went on to win thousands of people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, isn't that wonderful that that layman was able to use what God had given to him in such a humble way? And I suppose he thought, well, nothing good is going to come of this tonight. I'm not a trained preacher, and I don't know if God can even use me in this way, but I'll do what I can. And he did what he could with God's power upon him, and Charles Haddon Spurgeon was won to Christ that night. God isn't looking for popularity, folks. God is looking for faithfulness. And you know, as you and I faithfully serve him, God can even take our feeble attempts and use them in great ways in bringing people to Jesus, ways that we never dreamed about. ways that we never felt were possible for us. But just as God also used Shamgar, right along with Samson, right along with Gideon, right along with Deborah, and those other famous prophets of his, God also took a Shamgar and used him to bring deliverance to Israel. Let's turn over to, do keep a finger there in Judges chapter 3, but turn over to Matthew chapter 25. I just want to share a couple verses with you over here. In Matthew 25, this is where we have the parable of the talents. You remember that parable? And God gave to certain individuals certain talents. And let's pick the story up there in verse 20. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 20. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So here is a guy that graciously received five talents from God. He invested that. He used that. And he multiplied it. And he increased it a hundredfold. And now he has 10 talents to give back to the Lord. And the Lord says to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But notice verse 22. He also, there's that word, also, he also that had received 2 talents. He has 3 talents fewer than the first guy. But notice, came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Listen, the 5-talented guy was able to do more than the 2-talented guy. But because each one used their talents for the cause of Christ, they were faithful in doing that, Jesus Christ said to both of them the same thing, didn't he? The 2-talented guy also used his talents. Now, we could read on to that parable, but we won't for time's sake. And there was a 3rd guy there too, wasn't he? And he received what? 1 talent. But what did he do with that 1 talent? He went and buried it and didn't use it to glorify God. And therefore, he got rebuked, didn't he? But you know, if that 1-talented guy, if he had invested that for the cause of Christ, if he had used that talent to bring glory and honor unto the Lord would have given him the same praise that he gave to the 5-talented guy and that he gave to the 2-talented guy. God's not looking for popularity. My friend, listen, God is looking for faithfulness. God is looking for faithfulness. Listen, the Bible clearly tells us that every Christian, every member of the body of Christ has at least 1 spiritual talent. 1 talent that the Holy Spirit has given to them. As we read there in the parable, some people have more. Some people have 5. Others have 2. But we all have at least 1. Let me ask you tonight, are you also using that 1 talent that God has given to you to faithfully serve the Lord with? You may not be well known. You may not be like a Samson. You may not be like a Gideon. You may not be like some of the other famous prophets that God used, but if you use your one talent for Him, for His causes, my friend, one day when you stand before Jesus Christ, you will hear the same thing from Him that those who are more popular heard. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You can also serve Him. Now, secondly, notice His skillfulness. Notice His skillfulness. There again in verse 31, it says, "And after him was Shamgar the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad." Now, the first time I read that, of course, it was many years ago, but I asked myself, what's an ox goad? Maybe some of you older timers here tonight, you would know what that is. Well, that was like an 8-foot pole. They could be as long as 8 foot. And they, on one end of it, they had a chisel-like iron mechanism there. And they would use that. Are you ready for this? You'd never guessed it. They would use that to goad the ox. That's what an ox goad is. You know, to encourage the ox to move where they wanted it to move. Now, what we have to understand here in the book of Judges, it will tell you this. We won't turn to that scripture. Somebody got a remote and is speeding that clock up back there. But what you need to understand here is that the Philistines have taken over. And they have the Israelites in bondage. And the Philistines have taken away all the weapons of the Israelites. Took away their shields, took away their spears, took away their swords. And so the Israelites have no weapons. That was wise of the Philistines to do because they didn't want the Israelites coming against them. And so they took away all of the Israelites' weapons. Well, God seemed to be impressing upon Shamgar. Shamgar, I want to use you to deliver Israel from the bondage of the Philistines. And maybe Shamgar, maybe he was like Moses. Remember when God called Moses? And Moses began to give all these excuses. And God said to Moses, "Moses, what is that in your hand?" Remember that? And Moses said, "Well, it's a rod." And God says, "Well, throw that rod down." And he threw it down and it turned into a serpent, a snake. And then God said, "Pick it up." And Moses said, "I can't hear you, God." Maybe Shamgar. Maybe God said that to Shamgar. "Well, Shamgar, what is that in your hand?" And Shamgar said, "It's just an ox goad. But what can I do with that? How can I even begin to deliver Israel with an ox goad?" And God says, "Shamgar, if you commit that ox goad to me, and if you just follow my directions, I can use you and your ox goad to accomplish great things." You know, it doesn't take much to do great things for God if we're just commit the little that we have to Him. To Him. Often people complain about what they don't have. You know, God could have said to Shamgar, "Shamgar, I want you to deliver Israel." And Shamgar could have said, "No way, Lord, I don't have a shield. I don't have a spear. I don't have a sword. They've taken all that away from me. You know, Shamgar could have focused on what he didn't have. Folks, listen, that's exactly what the old devil wants us to focus on, what we don't have, so that we think that we can't do anything for God, that we also can't be one of God's deliverers. But listen, God can take an ox goad. He can take that in our hand and he can use it to do mighty things with. Shamgar, he said, Lord, if you can use me with just having an ox goad in my hand, then I will be faithful to you. You know, years ago, and I don't know how many years ago, John W. Peterson, we still sing a lot of his songs today. I think he wrote hundreds of songs and a lot of choruses too. But John W. Peterson wrote this little chorus. I don't know if you've heard it before. When I was preparing this message, I asked the Reverend Mother, well, my wife. I said, you know, it seems to me that I heard years ago a little chorus about this guy named Shamgar. And she said, you're right. She was surprised about that. She said, you're right. And she went and looked it up. And here I have in my hand the words of the chorus. And the title of the chorus is called Shamgar Had an Ox Goad. How many have ever heard this chorus? No one here has ever heard. Linda. Linda, you want to come up and sing it for us? Listen to the words of this. This is great. This is good. This ought to encourage you. Shamgar had an ox goad. David had a sling. Dorcas had a needle. Rahab had a string. Samson had a jawbone. Aaron had a rod. Mary had some ointment. But they were all used of God. Amen? Amen. Isn't that good? We need to revive that course, Gary. Listen, they all took what little that they had and consecrated it to God. And God was able to use all of them in a mighty way, wasn't he? Oh, listen, I trust that it'd be an encouragement to you. We can complain and whine about the talents and the abilities that have been given and never do anything for God. I find that to be so true in people's lives. Or we can say like Shamgar, Lord, you haven't given me much, but what you have given me, I'm willing to use to your honor and to your glory. 600 Philistines. There in verse 31. 600 Philistines. He was able to kill. That was the enemy. They were at war here. He was able to kill 600 Philistines with an ox goad. Wow. Someone has wrote a poem. It goes like this. Little as much when God is in it. In fact, I think this poem has been put into music. It's a song. Little as much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Boy, isn't that great? That reminds me of that little boy that came to hear Jesus preach. And you know, Jesus was a Baptist preacher. I mean, he was baptized by John the Baptist, wasn't he? Come on. And that little boy knew that a Baptist preacher would be long, and so he took a lunch with him. He took a lunch. And Jesus said, we need to feed these people. How are we going to do that? And his disciples, no way we're going to do that. And somebody said, well, I saw a little kid down here with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Listen, did you ever try to get a lunch away from a little kid? And maybe that disciple that did that said, now listen, son, Jesus needs this. Are you willing to give that little lunch to Jesus? And you know, the little boy was. And look what God did with that. Multiplied it. Fed 15,000 or more people with that little boy's lunch because he was willing to give it to Jesus. You know, I read a story about Sir Michael Costa. He directed an orchestra years ago. And he wanted to do something really big. So he got his big orchestra together and also brought in a big choir. And they were rehearsing. They were going to put on something big for the community. And so they were rehearsing one of the songs. And the fellow that was playing the piccolo, he got to playing that in the midst of all of the orchestra, all of the choir members. And he got to thinking as he was playing, you know, here I am playing this little piccolo. I'm the only one. Nobody is going to hear what I'm playing. I'm really not needed here. And so he quit playing. He kept it up to his mouth and pretended like he was playing, but he wasn't playing. All of a sudden, the conductor, Sir Costa, he stopped and he looked out at the great crowd of people that were there with the orchestra and the choir. And he said this, where's the piccolo? You see, to the trained ear, he could hear the piccolo, couldn't he? And my friend, listen, God has a trained ear, doesn't he? And he can hear who's playing, even if no one else can. Oh, yeah. Maybe no one out there in the crowd could hear the piccolo. But we aren't playing to the crowd. We're playing for the cause of Christ, aren't we? We're playing as unto the Lord. And my friend, the Lord hears, and he knows who's playing what he has given to them and who's holding back. Well, that brings me to my last point here, and that is, notice Shamgar's steadfastness. Notice his steadfastness. It says there in verse 31, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. Now, as I already have told you, Shamgar lived in very difficult days. Very difficult days. His father's name there, Anath, that was the pagan name for a god. Which leads us to believe that maybe Shamgar had not been raised in what we would call today as a Christian home. Maybe his parents weren't even believers. But he'd heard about Israel's God. And it seems like he had put his faith in Israel's God. And yes, we live in difficult days too, as I've already expressed. But that doesn't mean we can't do something for God today. Now, I don't believe that Shamgar killed all 600 of these men at one time. You know, if we were to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 8, which we won't, but it tells us there about a man named Adino, and he was one of David's three mighty men. And it tells us there that he killed 800 Philistines at one time. Imagine that. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. 800 Philistines at one time. But it doesn't tell us that Shamgar did that. Listen, I don't think he did that. I think what is given to us here is representing his life work. That throughout his life, with his ox goad, God enabled him to kill 600 of the enemy. You know, some people do something great for God, do one thing great for God, and then they sort of pass off the scene. Now, listen, it's great to do one thing for God rather than do no thing for God. That's good. But God is looking for some Shamgars today who will give their life to him. And just not do something great for God one time and then say, well, I did something great for God and I'm satisfied with what I did, and then not do anything else for him. Listen, God's looking for people who would dedicate their life for him and dedicate their life to him and say, Lord, use me the rest of my life to your honor and to your glory. Oh, listen, that's what God is looking for, that kind of steadfastness. How about you? Are you determined to use whatever God has given to you for his cause, for his honor, for his glory? You may look at yourself and you may say, wow, I don't even know what my one talent is. You got it. You may not know what it is yet, and you need to get involved in the work of the Lord through this local church, and God will reveal it to you. And then you need to consecrate yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't have much, but what I do have, I'm going to use to your honor and to your glory. And my friend, God can take that little that you have and make much with it, can't he? I trust that that's your heart's desire. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for telling us about Shamgar. You don't tell us too much about him, but what you do tell us is so great, so wonderful, that here was a man that was willing to take what you had put in his hand and use it in a faithful way to accomplish the work that you had called him to. And because of that, he was used by you to accomplish a great thing. Lord, all of us here tonight that name the name of Christ, we can also be used by you to do great things. Great things in your sight, Lord, may not be great to those around us, but Father, it's great in your eyes. I pray that this has been an encouragement to each one of us here tonight. Bless your word to our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.